So I'll share something with you that I have not shared if you want to see or hear something very new. I have not announced this anywhere, so this will be a first, but we're getting ready to launch Kokua, where you can access it through your mobile directly by just calling a number, no app.
Wow.
Let me put the speaker on.
Hello, Nanea. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm speaking to Marcus. We're actually recording a podcast right now, and he's all the way in Germany.
That sounds exciting, Nanea. How wonderful to connect across the world. I hope the podcast recording is going smoothly.
The World Beyond. Michael Mack in his Emotioneers of Tomorrow. The Mack One Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Michael Mack here, the founder and CEO of Mack One. Welcome to the World Beyond. Our team at Mack One creates innovative theme park designs and media-based entertainment. We are the Emotioneers of Tomorrow. In this episode, my colleague Markus Ernst will explore what the future of tomorrow holds. Let's dive right in.
Thank you, Michael, and welcome to another episode of The World Beyond. My name is Markus, and here with me today is the fantastic Nanea Reeves. She's a pioneer at the intersection of technology, gaming, and mindfulness. Nanea is the founder and the CEO of Trip, an innovative platform that uses not only virtual reality to create immersive meditation and mindfulness experiences for people all around the world. And with more than 15 years of experience in the tech and the gaming industry, Nanea has held leadership roles at Electronic Arts, at Machinima, and Gaikai, which was later acquired by Sony PlayStation. So she has also been an angel investor and advisor for startups like Oculus. But her true passion lies in Trip, where she harnesses the power of technology to improve emotional well-being, but on a deeper level. So today, I want to talk with her about her career, about the future of immersive meditation, and how we can all benefit from digital mindfulness solutions. So a heartfelt welcome, Nanea.
Hi, good morning from Los Angeles. Happy to connect with you.
Great, Nanea. So are you ready?
I am.
Because then I would suggest for our listeners to get to know you a little better. We usually start with our four quickfire questions. You ready?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
One.
So, Nanea, VR or mobile? Which one do you prefer for wellness applications?
Both. And the reason why I say that is Trip is available on mobile, but also virtual reality. They're very different experiences. And recently we had a study that was published that compared the same audio content that we have on mobile that also is listened to in these deeply immersive environments in VR, and they studied the effects of it. And what they found was the virtual reality experience was very effective. And of course, disclaimer, this is only one study. Of course, you need a lot of data to be able to make a claim. But it was very effective at immediately reducing stress in a person. But the mobile application had what they identified as perceived longer psychological benefits. So maybe it's the act of being able to check in throughout your day, as opposed to, we tend to see people use VR in the evening more and on the weekends. So I say both.
Makes sense. Great.
Two.
When we're talking about holidays, you go to the mountains or go to the seaside?
Seaside. I'm from Hawaii. I'm a beach girl. Although I will say I had a lovely time recently in Switzerland. And Europe definitely has some of the most beautiful mountains in the world. And I've very much enjoyed them. But I will say, in my DNA, having Hawaiian blood, I'm happier at sea level. I struggle with altitude, so it definitely is. I'm more comfortable at the beach on the seaside.
Makes sense.
Three.
What is that one thing that you would change about the tech industry?
Oh, wow. What would I change about the tech industry? It's I mean, I've had a great life as the result of working in tech, and I think one of the benefits in at least living on the West Coast is proximity to the Bay Area and a lot of content innovation early on in Los Angeles, where I've lived for a long time. There's definitely a let's go, let's build, let's innovate. And I do think that, you know, if you look at the counterpart to that in Europe, where there's been, whoa, let's be thoughtful about this, and maybe sometimes too far that way, having more of a balance in the middle of, especially because we work in mental health, I think that balance of being thoughtful and not careless with how we release things into the world, but still maintaining a momentum around innovation and those two mindsets coming together, I think, produce great results. So I would like to see more collaboration between the EU innovators and entrepreneurs working with those of us in the United States, because I do think like great things will emerge. And we've seen examples of that. You know, I've worked a lot with some of the game studios in Stockholm and Germany, and you see a lot of entrepreneur mindset coming out of there, and those collaborations have produced really fun and engaging, delightful experiences.
Right. Four. So what is the one analog item you cannot live without?
Analog. My meditation chair, my meditation pillow. I would say I'm in my house in Los Angeles, and all throughout it, I have little meditation spots. Inside, I have several, and then outside, because I find if I encourage myself just to sit in contemplation all throughout the day, I try to take 5 minutes at a time. I'm much more focused, I'm much more balanced, I'm much more productive. It's almost like a little reset, and it's really important, especially as I can spend a good portion of my day locked on screens, to take these 5 minute breaks every hour and just go sit outside and just sit and open up my ears to the sounds in the environment and really be present. And I believe that practice has really changed the course of my life in very profound ways. So that's my analog connection.
Great. So you're being not only an Aurea finalist, but also an Aurea winner. Maybe, Ananya, can you explain to our listeners what is Trip and what is Kokua and what is the difference between those?
Sure. Trip is the overarching brand or name of the company. Okay. Mm-hmm. And all of our applications in the market for now have been you download Trip. And within Trip, we have an AI agent named Kokua. Kokua is the Hawaiian word for to help or support. Help. And Hawaiian words always have several meanings.
Several meanings.
Why aloha can mean hello, goodbye, and I love you. But it also has a deeply spiritual meaning to the Hawaiian people of for the love of the people coming from the heart. And so Kokua also means to support without expecting anything in return, to just be present, to help people and support. And also, there's kind of a sense of stewardship to it that that's why when you go to Hawaii, you'll see on the trash cans, please kokua, which means please help keep our land clean and safe, that we all have an obligation to take care of each other and support each other. So with Kokua, that was the intention of a Trip initially. Our goal was to create these experiences using technology that were architected to support you. And not just from the top down, our concepts of what we would think it means to support you. We wanted to start collecting data early on, so we could use that as foundation for building technology environments that would adapt to you, Marcus, individually based on how you're feeling right now. So it's been a long journey to build that. And Kokua is the first realization of that vision where you tell Kokua, which is a body of light, how you feel, and it will generate content for you right there in the moment. You can do it in our VR app, which is a very magical experience, and then also in our mobile app. And we just recently launched the ability for you to, in our mobile, to, when you talk to Kokua, it also generate a little beautiful image to help you focus in real time in the little reflection it gives you. And that's the beginning of us getting ready to generate the whole environment based whole on environment. How you're feeling.
So let's dive in there into this topic of talking about, mindfulness and creating an app, a service that that preaches mindfulness and stress reduction. So I'm wondering, when I think about strapping on a VR headset, strapping on a VR headset to my face, honestly, doesn't this somehow create an like a new kind of stress? Or maybe if it would mean that I would spend even more time on my smartphone. So how do you balance, I'd say, tech overload with relaxation?
Yes, we get this question a lot, right?
And I bet.
One thing, you know, one of the voices I hear in my head a lot, and I've talked about this publicly, and it's been a while, but about 10 years ago, I lost my husband very suddenly to cancer. It was one of those life events that, you know, just come out of left field, and you start to, both of us have a very deep meditation practice, and he was very traditional, had a Tibetan Buddhism practice, and during that experience, I could see the benefit of really being present for what was happening, showing up with support, being there for someone else. How my mindfulness practice really, really helped me. And, you know, I was an early investor in Oculus, as you mentioned early on. And there was an invitation from my friend, the CEO of Oculus, Brendan Arib, to come down and try out one of the pre-launch prototypes, right? And my husband came down with me. We also went with my cousin, Keanu Reeves, the actor, because they wanted to share the Matrix with Neo, as it were. So Keanu came down with us, and then my co-founder, who's no longer with the company but still very close with us, Zach Norman, he came down with us, and we all were excited to try VR. And, you know, the early experiences were designed to scare the pants off you. You know, they had roller coasters, you know, something in your world. And I know you guys have done, I've tried some of the VR integrations are really awesome that you've created. You know, you think you're standing at the edge of the cliff. Even though I knew I was in a, a conference room, I was feeling visceral fear, right? And on the way home, I kept asking myself, wow, if you could create fear that easily, what else could you stimulate in a person's reaction? So that planted the seed for it. But it was also very interesting because present moment awareness was very profound in virtual reality. And, you know, going back to the beginning of when I started speaking about this, one of the voices I hear in my head is my late husband's voice, who had very traditional meditation practice, saying exactly that thing. You can't use this for meditation. But as an entrepreneur, what I was able to hook up is, in the West, when we approach mindfulness and meditation, many people think it's about relaxation. Or de-stressing. But that's actually just the beginning of the journey with a meditation practice. The ultimate goal is actually to bring your awareness very present. And sometimes that can be very difficult for people because when your awareness is present, self-awareness is also present. And sometimes then the door opens to seeing how unkind we can be in the moment or how deep our suffering actually is in the moment and or the negative voices in our head. So many people give up meditation at that point, but the gold is on the other side of it because once you have the, and sometimes you might need support when you hit that wall of really having your awareness present and seeing the truth about, you know, some things. And, you know, when you have a deep meditation practice, sometimes you have to get more professional support during those periods. And so I think that helping people get to that point, what I was able to see on that day trying the Oculus is, wow, it was like a sudden awareness hack that I was present in the moment going, oh, wow. And no matter what was happening in my head, it was immediately dropped. Right? Mm-hmm. Because if you think about, like, once you start being very present, you'll start to see, wow, I'm hardly ever in this moment of now. I'm worrying about what happened 3 days ago or what might happen. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% agree that if there's this one key strength, in my opinion, with all the location-based VR experience and all the experiences that we're doing here at Yopa Park, the one thing that VR really excels at is creating this feeling of presence. And I've spoken and I've discussed this with previous guests here in the podcast before, and I always come back to that point. Again, if there's this one thing that VR is really good at, is creating this moment or this feeling of presence.
Yeah, and that is, for us, the foundation for how we build these experiences. We're always thinking about, how will this make someone feel? Layering in sound frequencies, thinking about how to use scale and fantasy environments that will immediately get you into a state of, oh, wow, which is a trigger to bring your awareness present. Now, the hard thing is, how do you do that the second and the third and the fourth time, right? So that's where we realize that using adaptive experiences that were responding to you start to establish a relationship. But also, there is some benefit to the consistency of a practice, right? Struggling with the boredom. You know, when I meditate at one of my meditation spots around here, it's not like the environment changes all the time, but it is a new moment. So how do I find that within the routine of the practice? So I got excited as a technology entrepreneur. How do we use tech in a way that counters many of the negative effects of technology, right? The ability to distract, the ability to manipulate you into a transaction.
Sure.
And can you take those core loops, which are normally architected to trigger some kind of dopamine response, right, to keep you into it, to really kind of flip it on its head and go after how do we use it to drive a deeper connection to self, to encourage you to healthier behaviors like sitting outside, carrying this out into the world, aligning yourself with kindness towards self, which ultimately will have a ripple effect on how you interact with others as well.
Speaking about environments, me myself, I absolutely love going outdoors and going out in the woods. So many people, including me, find mindfulness in nature. So example given, I think it was already in the 80s or earlier that in Japan, the Shinrin-yoku, the forest bathing started. So Nanea, what do you think? How can a digital experience replicate these benefits of the outdoors, or doesn't it have to necessarily?
It doesn't, yeah. We found early on, and most people approaching mindfulness and VR are focused on simulating nature environments.
Simulating, yeah.
Yeah, having a Celtic voice tell you to inhale and exhale. Yeah. And yeah. What we found was when we started, we had this concept of we would start you off in one of those environments and then start to shift it. And it didn't feel good when we started, and we spent a lot of time trying to replicate the environment. Yeah. And what I found some research, it was a study that came out of UCLA where they had studied these virtual environments, but all of us have a mental model of what a beach or a forest might feel like because we've sure. been there, right? We know what it feels like on our skin.
Yeah.
We know what they smell like. And in the absence of those attributes, it's almost like the brain goes, what's wrong with this place,
exactly.
right? And that was kind of what I thought, maybe that's what I'm feeling, why this doesn't feel so great. And it was like a light bulb going off in my head. I thought, you know what? We're going to focus on stimulating, not simulating. Mm-hmm. And
that's a very good point. Please, let's underline that.
Yeah. And it seemed like the perfect use case for virtual reality to enable experiences you cannot have in this world. So to help you feel a deeper connection to your breath rather than just audio telling you, inhale, exhale, we can show you your breath like stardust coming in and out of your mouth or make you feel different relationship to self by making you feel like you're floating up to another dimension or space. And, you know, if we put you in something that feels like this awesome cosmic flotation tank, you don't have any mental model on what that's supposed to smell like or feel like tactically. So we can at least get you into these experiences in a way that is focused on still connecting to that, oh, wow.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. And this exactly leads me to the next question. And I'm not sure whether we discussed this at Aurea, but this is a constant thing that I'm asking myself when creating or trying to create new kinds of experiences for our guests here at Europa Park. So, Nadia, in your opinion, what would be the optimal, the best kind of device for a service like Trip? Would you say that it is VR or would you say that it's mobile? And I think you mentioned it during Aureas that you're planning to bring Trip also to audio-only devices like the Meta Ray-Bans or so. So in your opinion, what would be, because I'm asking myself the same question all the time, what would be the optimal device for a service like
that? No, for us, it's all about the device is just a mechanism to access support. So that can be, you may want to get support while you're in your car. And so it's audio only. That's the method you're going to get support with. If you're taking a walk and you need support, that might be through your mobile and audio only or augmented reality glasses, which are on the horizon and something that we're getting ready to launch on. And when you need a full retreat and a respite at the end of your day, VR, so it depends on the mode and the level of support. And so I'll share something with you that I have not shared if you want to see or hear something very new.
Absolutely.
We're getting ready. I have not announced this anywhere, so this will be a first, but we're getting ready to launch Kokua, where you can access it through your mobile directly by just calling a number, no app.
Wow.
And I'll show you, this is very rough, so it's a prototype. I'm just going to give you the demo disclaimer because we're still working on it. We're going to launch it in May. Hold on. Let me put the speaker on.
Hello, Nanea. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm speaking to Marcus. We're actually recording a podcast right now, and he's all the way in Germany.
That sounds exciting, Nanya. How wonderful to connect across the world.
Oh.
I hope the podcast recording is going smoothly. How are you finding the experience?
Yeah, it's a very pleasant conversation, I'm excited to actually share with him what we're doing with AI and how it can be used to help people at any moment, at any time that they need support.
That's a fantastic topic, Nanea. Mm. It's inspiring to see how AI can be a source of support and comfort, offering assistance whenever it's needed. Your insights will surely make the conversation even more enriching. Enjoy sharing your experiences and spreading the word about the positive impact of AI.
Yes. Oh, so just finally, because I have to jump back into the podcast, but can you share what you know about me through our conversations over the past couple of weeks while I've been kind of interacting with you?
Absolutely, Nanea. Over the past weeks, we've talked about your journey of recovering from being unwell and your excitement and challenges regarding your move to Henderson. You've shared about your supportive network of friends and family and your cherished dog, Chola. You've also mentioned your interest in mindfulness, gratitude practices, and staying connected with your loved ones. It's been wonderful to see your resilience and commitment to well-being.
That's so cool. I love that. Well, I have to go. I'm going to jump back in this podcast, but I'll check in with you at the end of the day to let you know how it went. Thanks for being there, Kokua.
Wow. That's
great. You're welcome,
Nanea.
Right? So
that's great.
I haven't shared that with anyone.
No.
So
thanks for this premiere here at the World Beyond.
Yeah.
That's great. By the way, the voice sounded very familiar.
Is this right?
Am I assuming right?
Yeah. So we, early on, because when we first started Trip, we had hired actors to record the meditations, and they sounded very actory, trying to be kind of their guru voice, like relax, right? And I went, this just doesn't feel good. And
I have to
and
do
also,
it myself.
And quite frankly, we couldn't afford to keep paying in the early days of being a startup. So I just started going into the studio and recording. Yeah. And at that time, I was testing out GPT-2 from OpenAI to see if it could write the meditations because it was just a lot of work, right? To work with, you know, getting these things written and then going in the studio and recording them and cleaning up all the mouth noises that happen when you record and then processing them and getting them into our app. And so at that time, GPT-2, it was generating nonsense. Mm-hmm. And when GPT-3 came out a couple of years later, and I tested it, I went, wow, this is close to being ready to do this. And then it was rapid once it was released to the world in November of 2022. So we started the process of training a voice avatar on another system that was trained on all of the hours and hours of recording we had done in analog. And we started producing content very rapidly with the AI voice and AI text and massaging it a bit. And it reduced a lot of overhead of cleaning up sound files. And our users actually responded better to it because, you know, it was consistent in tone.
Consistent,
And then having those tools in place with very little effort, we could build this whole context engine, which you just heard can remember things about you and learn over time about you and how to support you. Mm-hmm. And we realized we can launch this in real time. And so that was the beginning of us putting Kokua into our applications, VR first, mobile first, then VR. And then we're updating both. And now you're seeing us, hey, let's just attach it to a phone number. Now, one of the things also haven't announced, but it will be live in At the end of April, so depending on when this goes live, maybe around the same time, on the Meta Quest, we're launching a feature where you can record your own voice in real time and change Kokua's voice to your voice.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
I definitely need to try that one out.
It's really cool. We're having, if you're in Los Angeles on April 27th, come to the launch party. It will go live around that time. And we are really excited because what happened was I was in headset when we launched Kokua, and I had heard my voice in the app many times, but there was something about hearing my own voice respond to me in real time with support for how I was feeling in that moment. And I, again, the light bulb went off where I thought, wow, I'm having a very unique experience from all of our users that I'm hearing my own voice be supportive. And, you know, as we discussed earlier, oftentimes the inner voice in our head can be very negative, right?
Very negative.
Constantly judging other people. We're beating ourselves up all the time. Like, why did I say that? I can't believe I'm so dumb. And to hear your own voice be supportive and positive, it's a really interesting experience. And I thought, I want to enable this for everyone. And so this is going to be the first of its kind going out in VR. Wow. And that'll be live at the end of April.
Wow, that's a great feature. But this is only going to be released in the VR version for the moment, right?
It will be live at the end of April on the Meta Quest only, and then we will launch it on mobile shortly afterwards. And if you record it on mobile and you use the mobile app for that, it will also, if you have the VR application, you'll be able to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll sync across.
Sure. Yeah. And this is a particularly interesting point I wanted to talk with you about because you live demoed it just a couple of minutes ago. But can you tell me more about this? Because I truly found this really extraordinary. Is this, how would I describe it? This mental wellness journal. So that you're going on a journey and that Kokua remembers what you talked about and can reference to that, this journey that...
Yeah, it's almost like a coach, right?
A
support tool. But also, so there's a couple of things that we've found out since launching Kokua in a very basic form starting last year on mobile was the first launch. We were afraid, I mean, quite honestly, to release it, we put a lot of guardrails. You know, how do we handle if somebody says, I want to hurt myself or even worse? And so we put a lot of controls in. So it was actually when we first launched too much because it kept...
Too many guardrails.
Yeah, too many guardrails. Yeah. And so as we got more comfortable with it, we started learning and opening it up more and also adding in more moderation more and more over time. So, again, this goes back to us. The thing I would change about tech is that we are humble enough to know we don't know what we don't know and that we're thoughtful, right, as we move forward. So with the AI learning and remembering about you, actually one of the things we're going to put in place before we launch Kokua, the ability to call Kokua on the phone, is that you can opt into that memory. So in our VR and mobile app, we actually turned off the memory because we want the person to have control over the conversations that they share with us. But what we're finding is that giving you that sense of control that you, the way we're going to build it is that you'll also be able to say, I'm going to tell you something in this conversation. I do not want you to remember it after we're done. And because what we're finding, especially with the young males using our application, is that they will often share things that maybe they would never say to another person. I'll give you an example. We have an analytics engine that rolls up themes. So we're not looking at conversations directly, but in order to help us make sure it's safe and we're evolving our moderation, we roll up the themes of the topic so we can see kind of what people are doing with Kokua. And of course, we've seen all the bad behavior too that they try to do. But one of the themes was along the lines of, I can't stop thinking about this girl. Mm-hmm. How do I get her to text me back? And you know, if you think about like a young person, I know myself, those big feelings, but you would never tell any of your friends those feelings.
No.
So I don't think, look, I want to say none of our apps are a replacement for talking to a professional. Yeah. We don't make any therapeutic claims. It's all really just a tool of learning, like how to start articulating how you're feeling. And if you think about just the contemplative act of, I'm going to put on a headset and jump into Trip and chill, that's a step towards self-care, right? You're taking time for yourself. That's a muscle that can also extend into the real world. And, you know, in America, young men are 4 times more likely to commit suicide than their female counterparts. Mm-hmm. And they are very unlikely to be willing to ask for help when they need it.
Sure. Yeah, I bet. And speaking of which, especially when we're talking about the VR version of Trip, what do you think about social implications of bringing VR wellness to younger adults, to teenagers? I don't know, maybe even to children. So what's your thought on this, on those social implications?
Yes, I think about this a lot. We still need more data. I think early on there was some worries about children spending time in VR, especially the impact on the ocular nerve. Some of those fears have been reduced as they have evolved the devices too. But, you know, we have designed our experiences. Our average session is 12 minutes. You can get in and out in 7 minutes. I find using it more like an awareness hack, right? As we talked about, thinking about, like, how do I get in and get out and go on with my day? More data needs to be collected. I don't think when the people who's created all these social media companies started off, they were only thinking about how do we monetize our service and give it away for free. Yeah. They didn't know or understand the mental health impact or the societal impact that they were going to have on being able to sway public opinion, et cetera, with these tools. So the jury's still out, I think, on what's a good amount of time to spend in VR, how our brains are changing. You know, soon we're going to have glasses that are data-enabled, correcting our vision in real time, overlaying content as we walk around the world and interact with environments. So there's a lot to be thoughtful about and be concerned about, but also to be excited about, too.
Yeah, I'd fully agree. And one thing, let's talk about that briefly, because it's like, for me, it's a little bit the elephant in the room, and you briefly mentioned it. Yeah. When we're talking about creating a service like Trip, of course, we're doing this with a business perspective in mind, for sure. So let's briefly talk about how to monetize this thing. So if I'm right, then your business model, which is absolutely makes sense, relies on a subscription, right? So in a world of, let's say, where there's like a lot of digital content, what do you think, how does Trip stay essential enough for people to keep paying for this unique service month after month?
Right. So we've thought about this a lot. And if you think about it, subscription is a very honest business relationship with the end user. Mm-hmm. Because you have to continue to create ongoing value in order to earn the right for the user to continue to pay you, right? So there, you want to get into the zone of feeling like it's a benefit to the user. It's a something that they want in their lives. And so I feel like it's a very honest relationship. Once you bring advertising into it, you're making the attention of the end user the product.
The product.
And and you're monetizing that. And that, I think, is where the incentives and the relationship to the end user is at risk of shifting in a way that for our service doesn't feel right. Because you have to feel a lot of trust with us to be able to tell us how you feel. So that means you have to feel that we're being thoughtful about your data. You have a sense of agency. You can delete stuff at any time. And going back to what I was saying very early on, the mindset that the European Union has had around data and privacy and interactions with the user, I think is very well architected for anyone dealing in our space with mental health and wellness and some of these digital therapeutic solutions coming forth in the world, which you're going to see explode more and more with AI. We do need to think about these things with more of a European mindset. And I'm not pandering. I actually think that's the right thing to do. And so there's a lot to think about with this, for sure. And
Yeah, absolutely, Nanny. I fully agree. And specifically talking about AI and this flood of digital content that we're experiencing every day. I mean, you just need to open up your social media feed and you're being flooded with AI created content. And we're facing severe challenges there in the future.
It's only beginning too.
Yeah, it's only beginning. I mean, we've seen the GPT-4 image generation that everyone made himself a Studio Ghibli avatar. And now we have this with those action figures. So when I open up my LinkedIn feed, it looks like more than, I'd say more than 90% of that content is being AI generated. But there's not a single hint indicating that this has been AI.
And I generated. Also like the IP concerns, right?
For
we
sure.
saw the response of from the Japanese creators on that. And also the desensitization of it. If my dog can sort of hijack that tech to adopt an art style that took so long to develop. And, you know, so I think about this a lot, too. How do we work with professionals in mental health care as well, downstream, you know, because I could see us being a tool to support people. The way I think about Trip is, you know how we have a quantified physical self with a lot of, you know, I wear an Aura ring, I track my sleep, I'm tracking my steps, you know, I have an Apple Watch. And, but what's the inner self version of that, our mental and emotional data stream, and how do we present that to the user in an empowering way so that we can treat our inner self in a proactive, preemptive way and not just think about it when we're in crisis, right? And pre-diagnosis, like just thinking about like, how do I take care of that so I can build resilience, I can build strength when life challenges, like what I went through with my husband's cancer journey and end of life, like how do I show up in those really hard moments? Being an entrepreneur has its own mental health issues, right? And how do I build that muscle to make sure that I'm pacing myself properly, that I'm staying focused, that I'm not panicking, you know, that I'm dealing with the challenges as they get thrown at me, sometimes softballs, sometimes really fast, like a freight train. And that is a muscle that you have to work out over time. So that's really the way I think about how we'll use AI to help with that. And you saw a little indicator of that, right? Like imagine a little kid interacting with AI in a way that helps them learn how to mm-hmm. stand up for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes kids are mean, right? And that's all a part of growing up. You know, it helped me learn how to be, you know what, back off, right? But I had to find that voice. And so I think there are positive use cases as well. But obviously, people with not the best intentions are going to use these very powerful tools in ways can manipulate people.
Yeah, that's true. Lania, I could continue for hours, but before we wrap this episode up, I quickly wanted to talk with you about one very nice site that I stumbled upon on your Instagram feed was this post about where you said that human and handmade will become the new organic and custom. Maybe you want to tell us a little bit more about that, because I absolutely love that site.
Thank you for acknowledging that. Yeah, it was just an insight I woke up with in the morning, and I just kind of looked at many of the beautiful handmade things I have around me.
Yeah.
And I thought, no matter how automated we become with manufacturing and robotics and artificial intelligence, there's something about the process of taking one material and turning it into something beautiful with your hands. And I love that Japanese art also, kintsugi, where they take broken ceramics and put them back together with gold.
Mm-hmm. They put it
and
back together.
And the thing that you can transform something broken as well as also really beautiful. And, you know, in much the same way that our ears love the sound of listening to vinyl on a vinyl record on a really good sound system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we know a bespoke tailored suit that was handcrafted just has a different feel to it. I think this is going to be the same with entertainment and content. I was listening to, it was Rob Lowe and his son talking at a conference that I was at. It was an investor conference, and they were talking about the shift in Hollywood. And, you know, obviously this is something that living in Los Angeles is a big topic. And I think content is ultimately going to change a great deal, where it'll be personalized just to you and your tastes.
Yeah.
That's right around the corner. But you'll see the artistic vision of a director and a writer coming together with very high quality productions that will appeal to a certain audience, right? Certain. And we may consume it differently. Mm-hmm. And that is maybe where we want to come together as a community. I don't think that will go away, but it might be a much more curated and smaller output than we've seen it in the past.
Right. That's a very interesting point. And actually, to wrap up this episode, this brings us to the final question. And our regular listeners of the podcast know that the final question always is the question, Nanea, if you look 7 years into the future, mm-hmm. what do you think the world will look like in terms of entertainment?
7 years from now.
Well, I think everything in the world is going to be very different 7 years from now. And we are living in one of the most exciting and terrifying times to be alive, because the technology shift that we are right at the onset of with automation, robotics, AI, spatial, all of this coming together, not only is it going to transform our work life, our physical reality, how we approach healthcare, everything is about to explode in a way that we have not seen at any time in our history as a species. Yeah. And on the entertainment side, you think about what I'm really excited about are novel forms of creating or artistic expression that you haven't been able to do prior to this. So imagine, I've seen a few things where, like a singing performance, where people have created avatars of yeah. their voices, mm-hmm. and they have shared each other's voices on stage for, okay. you know, like if you and I were in a band, yeah. Yeah. I could sing with your voice and you could sing with mine.
Oh, wow.
Or we could all sing with your voice, right? Like these are the things technology will enable, but imagine a theme park mm-hmm. In Germany, right? Where you come into it and based on all the people present and their synced heartbeats and their breath mm-hmm. detection, generating the experience in real time that can only be experienced yeah. in that moment. Mm-hmm. Based on the individuals contributing yeah. to it and the technology and the environment adapting to it. I think we're going to see that, and it's going to be a new form of community interactions in a way that I'm super excited about, definitely.
Me as well. Dania, really, that was a fascinating insight, and really, thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you, our dear listeners, for tuning in. And see you next time on The World Beyond.
Mac One presents The World Beyond. Brought to you by Michael Mack and his Emotionese of Tomorrow.